As you said, my name is Brad Lindemeyer. I'm a master's student from Colorado State University. My advisors are Drs. Neil Hansen and Joe Brummer. And today I will be discussing alfalfa growth responses to water and partial season irrigation. So as previous speakers have already set forth, there is quite competition for the water resources in the western U.S., and we're reaching a breaking point. I think the picture in the previous presentation was a little more poignant, but we've got three major competitors: agriculture, municipalities, and industry. And as a lot of you probably already understand, water in the western U.S. is under a prior appropriation system of legal rights, so first in time, first in right. And what's interesting in Colorado and much of the western U.S. is that much of the demand is from growing municipalities and industry, but the bulk of the water is held by users in agriculture, so we have to find a balance between users to continue this growth. And so a lot of you have been talking about limited irrigation. Our strategy was a partial season irrigation, so where limited irrigation is stressing the crop, we also stress it, but our timing is different. We are meeting full ET demands, but only for parts of the season. So we think alfalfa is a good candidate for this strategy because it has high water consumption. If you give it the water, it'll take it. But that also means that if we take it away, we have a large potential for water savings. Also, alfalfa is pretty drought tolerant. Its center of origin is in the Middle East, and so it's developed that deep root system, and it can go dormant during those times where we take the water away. And also, we have great flexibility in its management. We can adjust the timing of harvest and irrigation. And by doing that, we can also adjust the quality. And in Colorado, we have incentives for quality. We have a lot of dairies there, and they are willing to pay a little bit higher price for that dairy quality hay. So it makes it a good candidate for this partial season irrigation. This is my master's project, and so when we started, we wanted to do a little background work. And I did a literature review spanning much of the Great Plains and Midwest and a little bit of the Intermountain West to come up with an idea of how does alfalfa yield, how does it respond to ET. And so this is a graph with ET down here on the bottom and the yield here on the y-axis. And the line there shows that its response to evapotranspiration and yield. And the slope of the line is the water use efficiency, and that's about 120 kilograms per hectare per centimeter. But we've got this large variability here, and so we tried to figure out, well, why is that varying so much if it's such a concrete relationship? So I did a little bit more research, and one of the studies we found that each cutting, the water use efficiency can change, and so we thought that might explain some of that variation. So our objective was to quantify alfalfa growth response and consumptive water use under different partial season irrigation strategies. Our study site was located in Berthoud, Colorado. It's on the Northern Front Range, and we were at the Northern Colorado Water Conservancy District headquarters. They partnered with us in this study. The elevation is about 1,500 meters. Our soil type there was an ulm and nun clay loam, so it's pretty heavy clay soil. We get about 33 to 38 centimeters of water. That's about roughly 15 inches. And we established 1 hectare of alfalfa back in 2005. So this was the second production year. And it was irrigated with a state-of-the-art linear sprinkler. And its water was supplied from a holding pond that held surface water from the ditch company. Our study design, we had 4 irrigation treatments. The first treatment was to irrigate fully to meet ET requirements. I'll refer to that from now on as full irrigation. The second treatment was 1 irrigation after first cutting and resume after third. So we irrigated fully through the first cutting and then gave it 1 pass of the sprinkler after first, and then irrigated fully to meet ET demands through third cutting. And I'll refer to that as spring and fall irrigation. The next treatment was stop irrigation after second cutting, so it was irrigated fully through the first and second cutting, but then the water was cut off. And then finally, our driest treatment was stop irrigation after first cutting, so it only got irrigation during that first cutting. And you can see the layout there, and I don't know if the colors came through very well for you guys, but the greener treatments there are fully irrigated, and the ones where it got a little blue, those were the drier treatments. So it's a very visible effect even from the air. So our methods, first we wanted to measure the yield, so we sampled from the windrow. It was about a 6 meter by 5 meter subsample, and then we subsampled from that to get our percent dry matter and then to do forage quality analysis. Our analysis, we looked at crude protein, acid detergent fiber, neutral detergent fiber, and then from that we calculated our relative feed values. We also wanted to see what the effects of this partial season irrigation would be on the stand density, so we counted crowns per meter square and stems per crown and stem length. And then we also wanted to determine its consumptive water use, and so we used a water balance method to calculate ET, and we assumed no dirt deep percolation or runoff, and we could assume that because the irrigations were pretty in small amounts. I think they only irrigated at heaviest about a half an inch at a time, and so we didn't think it was going to drain all through the soil, and because it's alfalfa, it's got that thick canopy, we didn't think that it was going to run off of there. And so to quantify that, we took gravimetric soil samples down to 244 centimeters, or about 8 feet, and we broke those into 30 centimeter increments, so 1 foot, and we did that at each harvest interval. So getting into our results, this is a 2006 alfalfa yields by cutting, and I've broken it down. Each bar has 4 parts, and those represent the cuttings. And we move from fully irrigated through our more limited, and then finally our driest treatment. And then we've got yield in megagrams per hectare here. And so you can see that across the board, that first cutting where they're all treated the same, they all yielded the same. We expect that. And then as soon as the water got cut off, you can see that it started to stratify the results there. And you can see that by that fourth cutting, we have pretty significantly low yields for that driest treatment. And what another interesting aspect of this was that we were assuming that the alfalfa wouldn't be able to come back from such a drought stress situation, but as you can see, these yields here, the first cutting, are very, very good. And part of that could be we had a large amount of snow there at that site, and we probably filled the profile with that precipitation, and so we came back pretty well. But as you can see, the yields for those treatments got pretty stratified there at the end again. We also did forage quality analysis, and on this graph I've got the 4 cuttings as 4 bars, and then the treatments across here, and the relative feed value here on the y-axis. And the trend that we can see here is that first cutting has a pretty good relative feed value, and that second cutting drops off, but then it regains throughout the season. And that's more pronounced in the drier treatments, I think. And we believe that's because the alfalfa was able, under drought stress, it had finer stems, so it was more digestible, so the feed value increased there. And it was also less mature, so that's a higher feed value. Moving on to stand density assessments, these were the number of crowns per square meter. And what was interesting, these were taken after the first year, so this is in 2007, this was this spring, and so this is how the alfalfa crop responded to 1 year of drought stress. And you can see what was interesting was that the drier treatments actually had a higher stand density, and that is also repeated here for the stem density. And then moving on to our soil moisture, we took those gravimetric soil moisture readings, and I was able to create these curves by averaging each foot for the different treatments. So we've got the blue line here is our fully irrigated treatment. The red line is stop after first. This blue line that's kind of hidden in there is spring and fall irrigation. and then stop after second. This was in April of this year, and so this is kind of indicates what we began with. This was before any irrigation was applied, and it's a good indicator of what we ended with last year. So that's kind of how the profile looked. You can see that snow in the first couple feet, it really wetted that up pretty good. And then as you move down, all the treatments that were limited were pretty dry down the lower profile. This was taken in July of this year, and this shows the stratification even in the profile of the different treatments. You can still see that the fully irrigated treatment has a pretty uniform profile. It dries down a little bit, and that stop after second, the second wettest treatment, follows that same curve. In the spring and fall, they got dried down pretty well throughout the whole profile, so they're using a lot of moisture out of the soil to compensate for less irrigation. So I was able to take irrigation and precipitation in that delta soil number and compile that to get my water balance ET and show that we were actually saving quite a bit of water with these partial season irrigation strategies. You can see here the fully irrigated used about 90 centimeters of total ET, and we've got a very significant amount of water savings through these stop after second and spring and fall, and then a very significant water savings for our stop after first. And what's very interesting is we've got pretty small soil deltas here, and you can see here that our stop after first, we use quite a bit of moisture out of the soil. And what's also as a benefit to producers is this irrigation savings. You can see we applied 57 centimeters, of irrigation water, and over here we applied almost 10% of that, so a huge savings in water, especially if you're looking at it from a producer standpoint. And then looking at the water use efficiency by irrigation treatment, you can see that these drier treatments were able to be more productive on less water. We've got full irrigation here at about 200 kilograms per hectare per centimeter, and at the other end of the spectrum we've increased that to about 330 kilograms. So to conclude, we can state that alfalfa exhibits a positive linear relationship with ET. We've known that for quite some time, and the literature supports that, and that the slope of that indicates our water use efficiency, and previous studies have shown that the variability from that could be due to the seasonality of alfalfa and how it responds to different temperature. And the variability in water use efficiency can be capitalized on through partial season irrigation. So as we have seen in the graphs, those treatments that got the water in the spring and in the fall fared pretty well in water use efficiency. And we can see that alfalfa also has the ability to recover from the drought stress. You can see that in those graphs I showed previously. There was very little difference between second season, first cutting yields across the treatments, and it was actually even better than our first cutting yields the year before. And also, partially irrigated alfalfa stands have a higher crown and stem density than the fully irrigated, and we believe that could be due to the fact that it's a drier climate, drier microclimate in that canopy, so less disease, and it's just a healthier stand, so it might be productive for longer. And most importantly, we've got those huge water savings from the partial season irrigation, and we believe that we can transfer those to other users and create a balance among competing water interests, and it might be a viable practice in the western U.S. For forage cropping. So I'm open for questions.
Thanks, Fred. We do have time for questions for Brad, and if any of you we're up against our first break, so if the other authors maybe want to come up for the front, if there's anyone in the audience that would like to ask those folks questions, if you want to stick around, that would be great. Go ahead, Brad.
Question to you was that this is the observation of only 2 years, that is the second year.
Yes.
So how will it hold over the years?
That's what we're continuing the study, and we hope it will. I think the second year is a good indicator. We haven't actually done that. We haven't thought about that, but that's a good point. We have a lot of dairies in Colorado, and that'd be an interesting analysis to conduct.